What if it was all about what Jesus did, not about what I'm doing? What if I found my identity in what he did instead of me finding my identity in what I do? That's what we've been talking about today. Just to make sure you didn't think I was moving too quickly through the book, we're only going to take one verse. But I am going to lead in by reading, if you have your Ephesians book with you, I'm going to read, starting at chapter 2, where we talked about last week, just to remind you, and I'm going to read down to verse 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sin in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our own trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you've been saved. And somebody say amen. And raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved, through faith. And not even that was your own doing, your faith. It's a gift of God. It's not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So here's our verse for today. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Remember, we're in the part of Ephesians where we're seeing what God has done. We're not doing a single thing yet. We started out the very first of the book with Paul writing to the saints and to those who've kept on believing, the faithful in Christ Jesus, and we saw that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing from the heavenly places. We saw that those spiritual blessings were that in love he chose us before the foundation of the world, that is everybody that's in his church, and in love he predestined, that is, his purposes were that we would be adopted by Jesus, that we would be adopted based on the redemption that came from Jesus' blood, that all of that would be according to the good pleasure of God's will, which he had come together in his own counsel, the council of three, himself, and he had planned for us. And then he goes on to say, and by the way, my prayer is that you guys could, that God would open your eyes so that you could see this inheritance that I'm talking about. That God would open your eyes so that you would know the power of God. The power of God, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That it's yours. It's part of your inheritance. That not only were you chosen there, and not only were you adopted, and not only were you forgiven, but you were also given the power of God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, and that God would open your eyes to be able to see it so that you could lay hold of it. And he then says, and by the way, here's what your problem was. You were dead. You couldn't have gotten any of this stuff by yourself and or of your own doing. And there wasn't a single thing when you were dead in your trespasses and sin, and we talked about what that meant last week, and that you were blind and spiritually blind. You couldn't see anything. Marvel not that I'd say to you, you must be born again. Well, what do you mean I need to be born again? Am I going to enter? And he goes, you can't even see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. You don't have eyes to see it, and you don't have ears to hear it, and you don't have a mind that can receive it, because the Bible says the natural mind is blinded to the things of God, and it's foolish. The things of God are foolishness to the natural mind. So God has to do something to your mind before it can see, and he has to open your eyes before that you can see, and he has to open your ears before you can hear. And when God does that, it is in this thing where it says that he is bringing us to life. That he brings us to life. And when he brings, and you were dead in your trespasses and sin, and here's what it was like with you. That you were led around by your sinful desires. How many of you have been led around by your sinful desires? Yes. And he said, and you were acting just like people who would never be saved, the sons of disobedience. And you were being guided by the prince of the power of the air. But God, who was rich in mercy, and remember we talked about mercy. Mercy is this thing that God has for his people based on the fact that he has loved them in Christ Jesus. And based on what God has done for them in Christ Jesus, that God has mercy on people. But God, who was rich in mercy, because of the great love that he had for you, he brought you to life. And when people are alive, they can do what? They can see. And when they're alive, they can hear. And when they're alive, they can know the things of God. And when they're alive, they can believe the gospel and be saved. And God had to bring you to life, and he brought you to life. And he says two different times in this, in 10, that it was by grace you were saved. And that means that it was just God giving you something that you couldn't have got. And it was his mercy that moved him to do it, moved him to give you the gift, and by grace you were saved. And it was through faith. It was not by faith, but through faith. That is, that faith was the instrumental means, meaning that God, once he showed you the gospel, and once he told you about Jesus, and once he told you about his forgiveness, that by that means, he caused you to believe into Christ Jesus. And by grace you were saved through faith. And that wasn't even of yourself. Faith even was a gift of God. What does that mean? Well, that means that I don't know what to believe unless somebody tells me. Paul talked about this in Romans 10. He goes, how can they call on? He goes, everybody who calls on the name of the Lord is going to be saved. But how can they call on somebody if they haven't believed in them? I don't call on Buddha. I don't believe in him. Right? And he said, and how can they believe in him unless they've heard? And they don't even have ears to hear. And how can they hear unless somebody preaches to them? And the Bible says that the gospel is the power of God to salvation, to open your ears and to open your eyes and to call you into God. And so God literally grants you what to believe by the gospel. And then now having opened your eyes and ears and telling you what to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And so God teaches you about himself and about his son and about his son's salvation for sinners. And when he does that, we believe on him. And the reason that he teaches you that is by grace. By grace you're saved. Through faith. Faith is the instrumental means. And that's not of yourself. It was the gift of God, not of works. Why? So that nobody could what? So that nobody could have any glory in the gospel except God himself. So if you find yourself saying, well, you know why God saved me? And this is what frustrates me about people that say, you can get saved right now if you want to. And I'm like, that means you're saying that you're God. No, it's God that saves you by his grace. You can stand there and call on his name, but it's God that saves you by his grace, period. Right? And so, and unless God saves you by his grace, you ain't going to be saved. And so, my deal is that, And so God says, why? Why? Because you don't get to boast in your salvation. You were dead and on your way to hell before God had mercy on you. That's it. And there's nothing about, and you didn't bring anything to your salvation except sin. God did the rest. And so what happens is that God says that. And then God says this. So he says that, and that's not your own doing, it's a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that nobody can boast. And then he says this, for, and then he like flips the script. You can't work to get to God. It was God who was working to get to you. For you are his workmanship, not the other way around. You don't make you. It's God who makes you. You ain't the potter. You're the clay. You're his workmanship. And God created you in Christ Jesus. If any man's in Christ, he's a new what? Creation. God took the pot and God created it. And God made you. And he formed you. And he formed you for something. But what Paul's saying is, don't you be thinking that you're the worker. God's the worker. He's the one who created you. You're his workmanship. And some people that have done a lot more homework and a lot more nuancing of the Greek says that that work is this thing that, you guys have been studying the Bible your whole lives, and you know that that work, that word workmanship means like masterpiece. You see, let me just say something to you. If you'd have made you, it wouldn't have been a masterpiece. I mean, you wouldn't even know how to put you together. You'd have probably made you like a pop star or something. You know what I mean? Or you'd have made you like some real hot chick or something. I mean, you wouldn't have had a clue how to make you into a masterpiece. Somebody that God could use. See, listen, God said, I'm going to make you into something that I can use. I have good works that I'm going to do in the world. I'm going to save it, and I'm going to preach to people, and I'm going to heal them, and I'm going to feed them, and I'm going to help them, and I'm going to make people that can do that. And I'm going to make people that can say yes to God and no to sin. And I'm going to make people that can believe on me and quit believing foolishness. And I'm doing that. And that's what a masterpiece looks like. It's the God who makes somebody who's can walk worthy of their calling. It's the God who makes masterpieces that can love the Lord their God and love their neighbor as their self. And God has works, and God is up to a whole bunch of stuff in this world. And he uses people to do it. He uses mouths to preach the gospel. And he uses hearts, and I mean, he uses every single thing that you can imagine that needs to be done. God is using somebody to do it. And he made them that way. He made them that way. In the great passage in 1 Corinthians 12, which talks about how God fitted the church together, he talks about all the different things that the church needs in order to be cared for and be spiritually healthy. And it needs all sorts of things. And he said, and I put it all together. I was the master. I was the worker. I was the God. And I was looking at each of your lives. And when I chose you and I sent my son to die for you, I also was going to make you in a particular way that you would be able to do particular things that I have for you to do for my kingdom. You're my workmanship. I'm the God. I'm the potter. I made you like you are. And let me say something. If that's the truth, that ought to be good news to us people with sorry self-esteems. Right? What in the world would you go around acting like you're a nobody when you've just heard that verse? We're You don't want me to tell you why? Because you're looking at things from the world's perspective. I don't care if the world says you're a nobody. God says he made you. God said he made you in a particular way. And God said he made you to do a bunch of stuff for him. Remember the Pharisees came to Jesus one time. I forgot to send you this first, bub. Pharisees come to Jesus one time and what are the works that we're supposed to do? So let me tell you one of the works that God has made each of us to do. Like some of us have particular works, but here's one work that he gave each of us to do. What are the works that we could work the works of God? Jesus said, this is the work of God. Believe on me. Right? Well, let me tell you something. I promise you that when God made you in Christ Jesus, one of the works that he's given you to do is to believe on Jesus. That's it. Let me read you this out of Titus. Now, the reason I'm picking this verse out of Titus, and go ahead and write this down in your book, Titus 2, 11 through 14. I want you to write that down in your little book so that you can reference this later. Because here's what happens. In this passage, he starts with the same line that Paul used in Ephesians, right? It's the grace of God that brings salvation, right? So that's how he starts it. We already knew that. By grace we're saved, right? So it was the grace of God that brings salvation and that has appeared to all of the people that God's saving, right? And listen to what it's saying. The grace teaches me. Listen to what he's saying. The grace teaches me to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age. Now, I want you to think about that. So, when God saves us, we see these interesting, wonderful things in the New Testament. And God always basically references what Jesus did into our lives. So this is one I quote often because I think it's super important for everybody to have this verse in their heart. So be kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How? Even as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. So the grace that God forgave you teaches you to forgive somebody else. You want to know how to forgive? Forgive like God in Christ Jesus forgave you. That's how you do it. The grace of God, when you see what God has done for you, literally teaches you how to do something for somebody else. Here's a verse in Romans 15. Accept one another then, just like God accepted you. Right? So what is he saying? Well, the grace that God accepted me, how did God accept me? Sorry, sinner, dead, enemy, all that, right? So how am I supposed to accept you? Sorry, sinner, dead, enemy, right? Come on in, take a swing. Woo, Lordy. I'll turn the other cheek. Hallelujah. So that's it, right? So it's the grace that teaches us how to live. It's the grace that, okay, let's finish the phrase because he's fixing to talk more about that. Give me that next phrase in the Titus passage. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus. Then the next passage says this, listen, because we're going to get back to this thing. Who gave himself for us, right? There's what he did for us again. There's the grace. That he might redeem us, buy us back from all of our lawlessness and purify for himself his own special people. And what are his special people? They're what? Zealous for good works. So, I don't know if you young ladies know what the word zealous means. Do you know what zealous means? That's a very old school word, I promise you. All the old people know. So, I'll tell you what the old people don't know. Zealous means like fired up for good works. Zealous means that I'm really excited. And what God has done to me has so affected me and infected me that I want to go out and change the world that I live in. I want to tell everybody about God. I want to love like God loved. I want to forgive like God forgave. I want to accept people like Jesus accepted. And I can't wait to do that. Zealous for good works. So, I've got another text up there. What is it? I had to do this off my phone while I was in Pickwick today. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, here's how this thing works out. Therefore, my dear friends, if you have always obeyed, that's a good work, by the way, not only my presence, but now much more in my absence, Paul's talking to these people. He says, continue to, now read this out loud with me, read that line out loud with me, continue to what? Okay, so he says, here's what I want you to do. God saved you, and you got a salvation now, and I want you to sick them. Right? Man, I want you to go for it like nobody's business. And I want you to take it serious. Fear and trembling, right? What's the fear and trembling part? Seriously, what's the fear and trembling part? Well, it's not only doing it. What is it? Yeah. And listen, here's the other thing. Say it again. Yeah, it ain't going to be easy. Why? Because you still have sin in the flesh that's doing what? Lusting against the Spirit, right? You still have sin in your flesh. The Bible says that the flesh lusts against the Spirit. But the good news is, the greater in he that's in you than he that's in your flesh. And God is doing what? Here's the next phrase. Next phrase is this. For it is God who is at work in you to will, right? To will. So you're like, well, you know what? I would quit all that stuff, but I just can't will. God's wills you to will. God is willing you. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So, for it is God who works in you not only to will, but also to act according to his what? Good purposes, which was the works that he had prepared for you beforehand that you would do them. You follow? So here's the deal. This is another thing that you don't do. It's what God does, right? I mean, remember, we're in the part of Ephesians where we just sit, like Watchman Nee said, and look at the things that God has done for us. He said, well, you ain't got to work for your salvation. You couldn't anyways. You were dead. I came to your corpse and did it all. He said, and now, here's what I've done. What I've done is I've created you to be this extraordinary masterpiece of mine. You have a whole bunch of stuff I'm going to do with you. And I'm going to do it through you. And it's going to be my will that's going to be done in your life. Get ready. And lay hold of that and walk in it. Right? That's the whole story of the New Testament, is to walk in what God is doing in your life. Does that make sense? So I'll just ask you something. Is God cheating on your wife? Then don't walk in it. Is God loving your wife? Walk in that. Right? Is God sacrificing for your wife? Walk in that. Is God serving your wife? Walk in that. Is God respecting and valuing your husband? Walk in that. Right? I mean, these are the things. This is what I'm talking about. It's really simple. It's really simple. That when God is alive in us, he's always pointing us to Jesus, who is the one who's responsible for everything that's happening in us. And so God is at work inside of me, right? But he's not working he'll be working when I get to heaven. Because when I get to heaven, I won't have any sin in the flesh. He'll still be the one working. He'll still be calling the shots. You can bet on that. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to be the Lord. He's still going to be the Lord. And he's going to be the master, and I'm going to be bowing down. You can bet on that. Read the last book if you don't believe you'll be bowing down. And you'll be bowing down and loving every minute of it too, by the way. You won't be bowing down in rebellion. All that garbage will be stripped out of you. And here's the deal. So the context now, though, is there's still sin in the flesh. And we still have sinful desires that are trying to prevent us from walking in the Spirit. God's at work. And you got to lay hold of that. He has awesome things he's going to do for you. He's going to change the world because of you. He's usually going to start with you because he has to get, well, for me, there was a lot of work that he had to do on me before I was, you know what I mean, could do anything, hold my wife's hand, much less love her, you know. And so, I mean, there were years where I actually thought she was supposed to serve me, not the other way around. Amen. Those were the good years. It was like Egypt, where the leeks and the cucumbers were. Sometimes I want to go back. All right, Ben, come up here. I'm starting to get foolish. Listen, but that's what it is, right? We denied the pleasure of sin for a season, right? If sin wasn't fun, you wouldn't do it. But I work out my salvation with fear and trembling because God's made a masterpiece and he has a lot to do with it. And he's not waiting, by the way, for you to do something weird. He's working on you right now. He's already made you the masterpiece. He's working on you right now where you are. I promise, I don't care who you are. He's already doing it in you and through you right now. Just walk in it. Just walk in it. It's God's work. Do his will. He said he's willing. He said he's showing you what it is. Do it. That's all. What do you have to do? Do you have to deny the flesh? Sure you do. Sure do. But just walk in it. All right, let's pray over it. Lord, we're thankful we get to sit on this seat up in the heavenlies and look down at the glorious things that you've done for your people. And then we get to live on the earth and be one of the people that you've done it for. It's an astonishing perspective. And Lord, we pray that we would see ourselves like you see us, a workmanship, a masterpiece that you've created in Christ Jesus with all kinds of stuff that you've prepared beforehand that we're to do, to believe into you, to walk in righteousness, to change the world around us in all these various ways that you'll have us do it. Lord, we pray that we'll walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen.